The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Welcome to the interview with Hugh Hewitt, sponsored by AndrewandTodd.com. Andrew and Todd are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They help you with all your real estate lending needs. If you're refinancing your home, if you're buying a new home, if you're a senior who wants a reverse mortgage, or if you're a veteran who doesn't want to put any money down, whatever it is, if you're in the private real estate market for yourself, and maybe you want an investment property, try AndrewandTodd.com or call 888-1172. Now on to the interview with Hugh Hewitt.
From what I have seen of our Russian friend and ally during the war, I am convinced that there is nothing they admire so much as strength. And there is nothing for which they have less respect than for weakness, especially military weakness.
Welcome back, America. I am Hugh Hewitt. That is Winston Churchill delivering his famed Iron Curtain speech in Fulton, Missouri in 1946. I was reminded of it as I listened over the last 10 days to Andrew Roberts' magnificent biography of Winston Churchill, Churchill Walking with Destiny. I had not listened to it before. I had not read it because I've read almost everything about Churchill that comes out. But then I picked it up because of Russia and Ukraine. And wow, what a revelation. Andrew Roberts joins me from Great Britain this morning. Andrew, welcome back. It's great to have you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much indeed. It's great to be on the show again.
There are five Russias, Andrew, at least that you deal with. There's the Romanov Russia, the Lenin Russia, the Stalin Russia, the post-Stalin Russia, and now the post-Gorbachev Russia. Churchill dealt with four of them. What did he make of Russia? What do you think, from your deep researches into Napoleon in Russia and Churchill in Russia, what should we think about Russia right now?
Well, famously, he described Russia as a riddle inside an enigma inside a mystery. So there isn't a direct and easy answer to that. He very much put British national interest first when dealing with Russia. So he was pro-Russia up until 1914, anti-Russia after 1917, pro-Russia again when Hitler invaded in 1941, anti-Russia when in that speech that you just gave, the Iron Curtain speech in March 1946, and then pro-Russia again, or at least not pro-Russia, but pro a settlement with Russia after the Soviets exploded their nuclear weapon in 1949. So he changed his stance, but actually, if you look at it carefully, his stance was always to put British interests first.
You know, I just recently concluded Walking with Destiny, and you remind me of what I learned from the book again, is that after his election as prime minister in the 50s, his really the only time he was elected to become the PM, he led the Conservative Party, he was actually, he wanted another summit. He wanted to get Ike or Truman before him over to sit down with the heirs to Stalin, because he thought you could actually deal with the Russians, correct?
Well, he did after they exploded their device in the April of 1949. That was the point at which he recognized that you had to sit down with them because they had the capacity to destroy the world. And so it wasn't out of any kind of naive belief in or love of diplomacy, jaw, as he called it. It was his worry about the effects of war.
Let us take the four Russias that Churchill dealt with and start with the Romanov Russia. He reminded people late in the book that he had actually served under Queen Victoria, and now he's going to serve under another queen. If I can do an aside, isn't it remarkable to see your queen walk down the aisle of Westminster Abbey, the same queen who stood with Churchill on the balcony with King George after VE? I'm just amazed by that woman.
It never, ever fails to give a tingle down my spine when I see her. Never does.
So before Churchill became Churchill, he was a subaltern in the Fourth Hussars. So he knows the Romanovs. And he knows, what did he make of the Russian dynasty in the days before the revolution?
Well, he was opposed to it up until 1914 because of the way it treated Jews, the way it treated the Tsarist treatment of its essentially almost serf population was something that shocked Churchill as a he was a Liberal MP, of course, at the time that the First World War broke out. But when he recognized from 1914 onwards until the revolution that actually Russia was an ally, extremely important ally again in the war against Germany, he piped down about all of the human rights abuses and he started to praise the Russian fighting man. But then, of course, came 1917, and especially after March 1918, when the Russians got out of the First World War, he turned very, very virulently against communism, which he always hated all his life.
Now, he also he denounces them repeatedly during the years that you described so accurately in Walking with Destiny as a menace, but not the menace that Hitler was. When Stalin and Hitler do their deal with the devil, the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, what does he say then?
Well, he denounces it, but the first thing he does is he was on holiday at the time and he got back home because he recognized that war was going to break out within days. And, of course, he was right. And so the denunciation was almost sort of unnecessary. It was so obvious that these two terrible and evil regimes coming together could only mean one thing, and that was the extermination of Poland and World War.
And, in fact, he later learns that Stalin ordered the massacre of, 14,000 Polish officers and military men in the forest?
Katyn, yes. And it was definitely Stalin who did it. They didn't have the proof of that until 1943, when the Nazis found the graves and opened them up. And it became very clear, especially to the British representative, Owen O'Malley, not least because of the dates of the newspapers found in the pockets of many of the dead people, that this had happened by under Stalin rather than under Hitler.
Now, this is one of the reasons why I want people to read Walking with Destiny. They have to understand the cruelty with which the military in Russia can and will and has operated. Has anyone brought up Katyn? I mean, the Ukrainians know about this, obviously.
Yes, no, absolutely. The Katyn massacre is something that the Poles will never forget, obviously. But you're right about the viciousness. And in fact, we're also hearing in Ukraine at the moment that Russian soldiers who either desert or in some way are seen to lack moral fiber, i.e. they're not in the front line, are getting some pretty peremptory punishments. Even today. So it's not quite like Stalingrad, where they actually shot 14,000, i.e. an entire division of people, for cowardice.
Wow. So we know what the Russian military has a history of being capable of. We see the stories of atrocities coming out. Now let's talk about Putin and Stalin. When you finish your researches, obviously you have a good impression of Stalin. What are the essential elements that Stalin and Putin share in common, Andrew?
Well, I think that there's an element of paranoia to both of them. Certainly, Stalin. There is a sense that that Russia can do no wrong. You know, they are extreme nationalists in that sense. The difference seems to be that Stalin started, after June 1941 at least, to listen to his generals and not to overrule them. Very, very great Russian marshals like Zhukov and Rokossovsky and Konev and others, he recognized were better soldiers than he'd ever be. Whereas Putin doesn't seem to have been told the truth by some of his generals, or at least the surviving ones, about what's actually going on in Ukraine, whereas Stalin was at least always told the truth by his generals.
Well, you see, that is the key thing right now, is that whether or not Putin knows what's going on, he's losing, and he's losing badly. When Stalin first sits down with Churchill, where is that? Is that Tehran, or had Churchill gone to Moscow before that?
Churchill went to Moscow before that in the August of 1942.
All right. And so that's when they tell him everything is bugged and he knows that. What does his American officials have to be nimble with Putin? And I don't say forgiving, just nimble. What did Churchill do vis-a-vis Joe Stalin after they became on the same side?
Well, he told him straight to his face that he wasn't going to have a second front in Europe until such time as they had air superiority and command of the ocean. So they would be able to get a large enough force across the channel. that wouldn't be then forced back and defeated. And this was, of course, turned Stalin into a furious sort of ball of anger. And he said that that was because the British army were cowards, and only the Russians had any courage in the war, and so on. And it was a extremely unpleasant meeting in August 1942. But he did look Stalin in the eye and tell him, you know, that was going to happen. He also, of course, offered him and backed up his offer huge amounts of support in terms of tanks and aircraft and so on that were delivered via the Arctic convoys.
And he never failed to remind the English people in the West that the Russian soldier was suffering much more mightily than the Allied soldier. I think I remember from Walking with Destiny, he would remind the House repeatedly that they were at 145 divisions and we had 14 in Italy. Am I right about them? I listened to the book. I didn't write down notes.
That's exactly it. And I think it's very important in all of this to recognize the limits, obviously, of historical analogy here, because although the Russians are at present losing about 350 men a day killed, in the Second World War, the Red Army lost 6,000 men a day killed, right from, as an average, from the moment of Hitler's invasion to the fall of Berlin. 6,000 a day.
That's so stunning. Do you think that translates into a certain resilience in the Russian mentality to absorb the sort of punishment and hatred that they're getting on the world stage right now?
I did think that until fairly recently, when I saw the effect that the bereaved mothers of Russian soldiers are having on the ordinary Russians today. They seem to be able to, maybe it's something to do with different, you know, social media or whatever, but they're getting through to the Russian people, the Russian psyche, I think, in a way that certainly was not the case, of course, in Stalin's time.
Well, what they called the Great Patriotic War, there wasn't exactly social media on which to spread this stuff.
And everything was completely totalitarian. I mean, it was worse than Putin when it came to totalitarian control of every form of media.
And so when we come back from break, we're going to talk with him about whether or not President Biden is up to what Churchill did in Tehran and then subsequently in Yalta, which was to confront a Stalin and try and deal with him with naughty documents. And I think there's another Moscow meeting in there as well. But before I go there, Andrew, a quick update. How is Disraeli going?
I've put him on hold, actually. I've got another project that I'll tell you about at some stage, I'm sure.
Oh, no. I'm waiting for Disraeli, Andrew.
You're going to love this one. You're going to love this one as well.
I'm sure.
I haven't signed it yet, so I don't want to jinx it.
Don't jinx it. I hope it's about Nixon, if it's not going to be about Disraeli, because those are the two people I want to see Andrew Roberts go to work on. Have people picked up that Walking with Destiny right now? Have you noticed an uptick in people getting a hold of the book?
Actually, funny enough, since Zelensky paraphrased Churchill with his "We shall fight in the forests, we shall fight in the streets" speech, there has been an increase in sales of my book. Yes, it's been interesting over the last month.
I really think people need to go to understand how to deal with Putin. And when we come back and we talk about Yalta, I just don't know if President Biden has the capacity. You know, there's a lot about Churchill aging in this, Andrew, and we've got a minute to the break. Do you keep thinking about that the aging of the prime minister that you cover in Walking with Destiny does have some reflection in the aging of President Biden?
Well, I think it does, yes. And the huge difference is, of course, that when Churchill started aging, which was in his 70s, Britain was at peace, and it was in the 1950s, and we had the support of America and so on. It was a little bit more nerve-wracking if you have a president who isn't up for the job in wartime, which is essentially what it is.
An older Churchill had Truman and Ike. Joe Biden has Boris. We'll talk about that when we come back. British historian Andrew Roberts is my guest. If you have not yet read or listened to Walking with Destiny, it will change everything you think about what we're doing right now with Russia, and you ought to listen to it. I'll be right back with Andrew Roberts. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Andrew Roberts is my guest, the author of many magnificent books, including The Last King of America, Napoleon, and the one I'm talking about right now, Churchill, Walking with Destiny, superbly read by Stephen Thorne. I would recommend everyone get the audio book, and you can get it for free, by the way, at audible.com if you sign up for it. Andrew Roberts, going to Yalta, the president goes with Churchill to Yalta, and Alger Hiss is in the entourage, so we don't really know what's going on there. But at Yalta, they tell Stalin about the atomic bomb, and he pretends not to know. Am I right in recollecting that?
That's right, yes. He knew perfectly well what the Manhattan Project had been doing for the previous four and a half years, but he, because of his spies, obviously, but he had to show shock and surprise when he was told by the Western leaders, yes.
So when Churchill says, I like that man, it's not like, you know, when you listen to a book, you hear things when they're said twice. He said about FDR twice, I love that man, once at his grave in Hyde Park and once, I think, in Egypt. But he says, I like Stalin. What does he mean? And what ought you to advise, if you could, Joe Biden about Putin based upon what we know about Russian leaders?
Well, as somebody who admires Churchill, of course, I feel that that is a low point in Churchill's life when he said, I like that man. It was after a tremendously drunken dinner at the Kremlin where they polished off God knows how many bottles of vodka together. And you remember earlier I told you about how Stalin had accused the British Army of being cowards. Well, the way in which they made friends again was essentially over eating and drinking in Stalin's flat in the Kremlin. And it was after that that Churchill said, I like that man. How he could possibly have liked somebody who he knew perfectly well as the Katyn massacre, had been responsible for what he called the budget of deaths when he signed away the death warrants of hundreds of thousands of people, is hard to fathom. It really is.
I bring it up because it's an admonition to never trust a Russian czar. And Putin is nothing to me except a Russian czar or a Russian commissar or a Russian whatever. Andrew, you've studied Russia from Napoleon and from Churchill. What are your thoughts on this war? And what are your thoughts on Boris Johnson's leadership of the United Kingdom right now, where he seems to be leading the West rather than President Biden?
Well, I'm glad that you think so. I rather think that, too. I think that Boris has been superb. He's been early, which is important. You know, he right away recognized the issues at stake. He's been tough. We've sent huge numbers of anti-tank weaponry in particular, but also anti-helicopter weaponry. And he's been consistent, and he's also made a few speeches that actually really do go to the nub of the matter. So Boris, who was, of course, in terrible, terrible political trouble over party going in number 10 before this all happened, is now really back on form, it seems to me.
If my guys can tee up, the key thing I took away from Walking with Destiny is study the Fulton speech, especially this line. If any American is driving into work today in the Capitol, this is the line. Can you play it for me, Adam? Cut from the Fulton speech that we began the interview with. I hope you can't find it.
From what I have seen of our Russian friend and ally during the war, I am convinced that there is nothing they admire so much as strength. And there is nothing for which they have less respect than for weakness, especially military weakness.
Andrew Roberts, you think that is still the case?
I certainly do. Actually, and we know it from the Russians themselves. Lenin himself said that when the enemy prods with a bayonet, when they find mush, they'll go on. When they find steel, they'll stop. And so it really is the case with the Russians that they admire nothing so much as military strength. But we're not really showing them enough in the West at the moment, in my view. I think that we missed a great opportunity with regard to those 28 MiG-29s. When one looks historically at the number of times that the Russians have, certainly in Korea and Vietnam, have delivered important weaponry to America's enemies, there was very little chance of any kind of a nuclear extreme back to them.
No, because they respect strength, and we did it with the Mujahideen. I mean, it's just befuddling to me, Andrew. Have you written yet about Russia and Ukraine?
A few small things, but nothing significant. As you know, I think I was in Ukraine some 2 weeks ago went over the border for quite a what was a rather emotionally moving time, really, with the poor people who I saw in the on the other side of the border.
I did not know that, Andrew, and I salute you for doing that. I wish everyone would read Walking with Destiny. They would have a better grip on my concern about President Biden as he ages and about my concern with Putin and what he respects, which is strength. Andrew Roberts, author of Your Churchill, Walking with Destiny. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Andrew. Don't go anywhere.
Bye-bye.
Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Dash. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Harley and Ben. If you want to hear more of Dash, you've got to go sign up for The Universe, universe.com. The best radio show you've never heard is only available in The Universe every afternoon at 8 p.m. in the East, 5 in the West. The After Show with Dash Patterson. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be back tomorrow on the next Hugh Hewitt Show. That concludes today's episode of The Interview with Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening. Make sure you come back and check out all the other podcasts on the Salem Podcast Network. And remember to thank our sponsors, andrewandtodd.com. If you believe in long-form interviews like I do, then do your real estate transactions with Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian. I've known both men for a long time. andrewandtodd.com. Go there, answer a couple of questions. They'll tell you what's best to do with your house, or call them at 888-888-1172. You'll be glad you did, and you'll be glad that you listened to the next episode of The Interview.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.